I'm very happy now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Meredith Machen and Leti Naranjo. Meredith is founder and Leti is executive director of Literacy Volunteers of Santa Fe. How did you, Meredith, come to found Literacy Volunteers?
People often ask me how and when and why Literacy Volunteers got started. In 1983, I was hired by Santa Fe Community College as one of its first faculty and staff members, and I immediately saw the need to involve community members in educating fellow community members who couldn't read or speak English as a second language yet wanted to go to college. And Santa Fe is the capital of New Mexico, of course, and yet it had never really had a public college or university at this time. So loads of people came to our doors after the community college started up. So I'd go to churches, AAUW meetings, anywhere I could, League of Women Voters, and ask people if they would like to volunteer. People who had dropped out of school finally saw an opportunity to go to school. Some of the employers in Santa Fe also sent undereducated and uneducated workers thinking we could help them improve their skills. The city sent us a number of employees. And we basically started up with just volunteers meeting wherever we could, started doing official literacy volunteers training in the summer of 1984. And it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful to see the community support. We have a lot of people in our community, up to a third who are reading below the sixth grade level, and about a third who speak English as a second language or are English language learners and don't speak any English.
Right. When we look at the question of literacy, first of all, what do we mean by literacy? How do you define it?
Sixth grade level is what we use as basic literacy, sixth grade and below. That is considered functional illiteracy. If you cannot read labels on medicines, you can't read the newspaper, you can decode, you can read some words like an elementary school reader can, but you really can't understand enough to survive a good quality life without these reading skills. And a lot of people have to rely on fellow employees or family members to read for them. They certainly can't help their children in school. So functional literacy is actually the issue most that we see in basic literacy students. And then English as second language is, of course, you know, the whole range from non-English speaking all the way to ones who lack proficiency in English.
So people who have English as a second language, are most of them literate in their native language?
Not necessarily. We certainly have a lot of people who are not literate in either language, either home language or English.
Most of our ESL students come to us and they have, like Meredith said, below a sixth grade reading, but a lot of them haven't gone below second or third grade.
And so you've got a lot to contend with. Now, let's just for a moment talk about only native English speakers, people who were raised presumably going to school, right? Who didn't learn to read in school? I mean, we've got the same problem now, which is why we keep talking about third grade retention. But what's going on? What did that look like back in the day? In other words, how did this problem arise? You and I both lived, Meredith, for years in Connecticut. There's no illiteracy in Connecticut, or not very much.
Right. Comparatively, no.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many reasons. It's intergenerational a lot of times. A lot of times, if you're growing up in a rural area, you're working on the farm, you're not necessarily focusing on school. A lot of times, even here in New Mexico, second language came into play. You know, people grew up speaking Spanish, and then when they went to school, then they were learning English. And I remember when I was in elementary school, and I'm not that old, we would get punished for speaking Spanish.
Right.
We couldn't even speak Spanish on the playground.
It was the same for my father. His first language was Sicilian, mm-hmm. and they weren't allowed to speak that in school.
Huh.
But they all learned English.
Right. And so I think that parent involvement is a huge thing. I was fortunate that my family, they were educators, and my grandmother was a teacher. And so, you know, we were, education was a very, very strong thing for us in my family.
Yeah.
But there were other friends that I had that when they went home after school, they didn't have help with their homework.
Right.
And they didn't have books in the home.
Right.
So we have a problem that, as you say, has deep roots and is intergenerational. How do people then learn? In other words, learning English in first grade, if you're ready, willing, and able, is a breeze. When you're 35 years old, not so easy, learning to read and write.
Our programs really try to change people's lives. And so we help our students by, we train volunteer tutors, and we match them up with students. And our programs focus on improving basic reading skills, writing skills, building job skills, empowering parents to help their children succeed in school, and helping immigrants prepare for citizenship. So because of the great demand for literacy services in our area, our program yearly serves approximately 400 students, and we have over 150 volunteer tutors.
Now, is it based at the community college, or are you out in the community?
We're out in the community. We're housed at Santa Fe Community College. We have an affiliation agreement with Santa Fe Community College. They're our partner, and they provide a lot for us. We have our wonderful facilities and the phones and the computers. If we had to pay for that somewhere in town, we couldn't have the programs that we have.
Right.
So they're a wonderful partner. Our students get to see a college environment, and they have goals to actually go to college someday.
What are the actual sessions like? Do you use the same materials that you would use to teach a child to read?
No, we use materials for adults. And we have different groups. We have some of our tutors tutor one-to-one. Our basic literacy matches are usually one-to-one. Then we have small groups, and we have large group tutoring, and we're all over the community. We're at the Santa Fe public libraries, the public schools. We're at work sites. We're at community centers. We're at the Santa Fe Community College.
So it's something people might do during their lunch break or something like that?
Yes, or in the evening or on weekends.
Right.
We're at churches as well.
And the volunteers get trained for 20 hours before they are working with the students, so they know the strategies that will help them to improve their skills, and then there are level tests to make sure that the students are progressing. So they do have a curriculum customized to their interests and goals, but definitely it's adult-oriented. You certainly can't use the same materials as you would for a child.
So what do you use?
So, for example, for our English as a Second Language program, we use picture dictionaries. Those are really popular, especially with our worksite programs, because there's different chapters that relate to different topics. Like, for example, all the utensils and everything that you would use in a restaurant, or all the vocabulary that you would need to know in a hotel if you work in a hotel.
Right.
The curriculum is all based on what the student is wanting to study. And then for readers, we have adult readers, and they're topics that adults would be interested in. It's not like Dick and Jane type stuff.
Right.
But let's say one of our readers is interested in horses. And so we have different readers that can talk about, you know, farriers and horseback
right.
riding and all kinds of really adult topics.
And there are also a number of students who come to us because of health challenges and so on. And so we have one group that is meeting in Nambe that is oriented. Well, a lot of the students are pregnant or moms beginning, you know, with their first families, and they're interested in finding out about, you know, their health, their changes and the baby's changes and so on. So, in other words, it's tailored to their interests. And while I'm on the topic of health, you know, one of the largest problems with illiteracy is the health challenges that people face because they're not taking care of their bodies, they don't know how to access health services. The American Medical Association found that literacy skills increase the annual health care cost by about $73 billion in this country. And so there's a whole field of health literacy.
Like, yeah. What's an example of how lack of literacy would increase healthcare cost?
Well, for instance, not being able to read the labels on cans and having eating a lot of, drinking sodas and, you know, eating foods that have a lot of sugar in them and fat and not taking care of their bodies because a lot of times those foods are the cheapest ones. But, you know, not even reading the kind of warnings that you read about in the newspaper and so on about diets that have that are high in fat and sugar and so on, and that they cause obesity. They don't have access to reading those materials.
Right.
So they don't understand that they are in charge of their life. And so even
they should listen to KSFR.
Yeah. With diabetes, for instance, I've had students at the community college over the years who really did not understand that they were the ones who were controlling their diets. And they worked with La Familia Promotora program and, you know, actually found out that they could measure their levels. It wasn't just the doctor who could measure their levels, and they could do something about their diet. And so, you know, we really got to think in terms of prevention, and health literacy is a huge, huge issue in this country.
This spring, we're collaborating with the University of New Mexico, and we're going to offer some workshops for our students on health literacy.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. You know, what you're saying really makes me think of the kind of bigger issue of empowerment, namely that when you can't read, you don't feel empowered in society. You don't feel like you're in charge of your life, whether
right.
it be about diabetes or anything else.
And those who read at the lowest grade levels had average annual health care costs of $12,974 compared with $2,969 for the overall population studied by the American Medical Association.
That's a huge, huge difference.
Yeah. And a lot of times, of course, the people who have the highest poverty are the ones who have the lowest literacy rates, and so they're not even able to pay these bills. A lot of times they won't get prescriptions that they need because they haven't worked
right.
on, you know, prevention. And 43% of the adults with the lowest literacy levels live in poverty, as opposed to 4% of adults with strong literacy skills.
Right.
It's
so it's all part of a big, complex picture where it's all kind of interrelated. Now, when you have these programs, you get people reading. What are some examples from your own experience of how people's lives change?
Oh, it's incredible. We have so many success stories. It's very rewarding when a student walks in and says, oh, I got a job, or I was promoted in my job. We have students that have become new citizens, and so that's really empowering. Last year, we had almost 40 students that obtained their citizenship, and they're all ages. The average age of our student is something like 42.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I wanted to just echo that and say adult literacy makes a permanent change in people's lives. You know, not only does it give them skills, but it gives them hope and gives them aspirations and affects, you know, whole families, communities, workplaces, and so on. Education is a renewable resource. I mean, it keeps on giving. And, you know, I think also, you know, look at talk about the multi-generational effect. Parents are able to help their children in school when they have literacy skills, and they, you know, they give their children goals. And so they possess their gains in a way that has such huge ripple effects. And, without basic educational skills, adults can't go on to college or get the jobs that they need. Sometimes a lot of them are underemployed in blue-collar jobs. They don't have a future. So
yeah, I mean, even the most basic jobs, you know, I mean, restaurant work, you need to know how to read. We're talking about Literacy Volunteers of Santa Fe. How do you find the tutors for your program? Are you always looking for volunteers?
We are. We have some tabling that we do, outreach that we do. Word of mouth is really our largest way that we get tutors. We have tutors that have friends that they talk to and they talk about their experience, and then they call us and they say, my friend is a volunteer tutor, I'd like to do the same. We participate in the community day, and so we do a little bit of outreach, but mainly it's word of mouth. We have our next tutor trainings coming up now in February and in March. And so if anyone's interested, they can give us a call and or they can check our website. And we have all the information there. It's a 20-hour training. And so it's 2 full days and 1 evening. It starts on a Thursday evening from 4 to 6 and then all day Friday, all day Saturday. So it's a 20-hour training.
And the website is, the Literacy Volunteers of Santa Fe is lvsf.org. And we also want to let people know that there's an event coming up this coming Sunday, the 8th of February, at the James A. Little Theater at 2 in the afternoon. You want to tell us about that?
Yes, we're really excited. We're celebrating 30 years. And in those 30 years, we've trained over 4,000 tutors who have provided over 50,000 hours of instruction to help more than 12,000 adult students obtain essential skills and reach their fullest potential. And this represents over $9.3 million of volunteer work to the community. Our event will be on Sunday, February 8th. It's from 2 to 4. It's at the James A. Little Theater. And we have a panel of 5 authors.
A wonderful panel of 5 authors.
Yes.
Valerie Plame will be there. The amazing John Nichols will be there. We have Ann Hillerman.
Natalie Goldberg.
Yep. And Sally Bingham. So yes, it's an all-star cast. And yours truly will be there moderating and asking questions.
And our theme, we have a theme of actually 3 themes. One is transformation, inspiration, and to nurture a reading culture. So that'll be what the authors will be talking about and discussing.
To nurture a reading culture in New Mexico, Meredith Machen and Letty Naranjo, founder and executive director of Literacy Volunteers of Santa Fe, once again, lvsf.org. I want to thank you both very much, not only for being here, but for the great work that you do for the community and all your volunteers.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for all your great work to the community.
Thank you.
Yes.